2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. We got a lot of fun stuff for you on KSL today. This is a great day for football lovers. A lot of people would say, Ton, that this is football weather.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that, but a lot of people would say.
Yeah, it's Cougars, what is it, Arizona State today,
at
this evening. And the pregame show should be...
It's sponsored by UCCU Credit Union. Love where you bank. Oh, and Dave, of course, is giving me a hard time about the game last week, knowing that I'm a Ute graduate.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, that was very embarrassing, wasn't it? And we'll just say they were outplayed and outcoached, and Dave didn't find it the least bit embarrassing, and we'll just let it go at that,
the
Dave.
The first thing, time Stop in, talking in my years, ear. The Cougars are doing well, but, you know, I will say I'm a Cougars fan, but the Utes have played consistently, you know, for a lot of years, and this is the first game in 10 years that the Cougars have won. When there's a track record of three or four in a row, I might put some more faith into it again.
I'm just going to say I'm a Cougars fan unless they play the Utes, and then I have an issue. And I should have been a Cougars fan apparently this year on that game as well. And back to the Greenhouse Show. Thank you very much, Dave, for that. Our next listener, Ton, says they just want you to kind of chime in on the problem they're having with squash-type plants. They say that they've been infected with a disease that turns the leaves into kind of spiky and small, kind of a shape like a thistle leaf. The zucchini fruit is deformed. The pumpkin also deformed, and they have turned orange prematurely, punctuated with some green spots, and they kind of like you to weigh in on what's going on there.
Plant vampires have been biting the
plant vampires.
Yes, it's actually 2,4-D damage.
Really?
If you have different species deformed, there's almost never crossover of diseases that causes that. And so when you start seeing multiple species with deformed leaves and fruit, it's something environmental, and in this case, classic 2,4-D damage from a lawn weed killer or someone spraying ditch banks, and then that particular 2,4-D can drift for hundreds of yards in the air. And so even if the neighbors didn't spray, it could have drifted in from quite a long way away and bounced in the wind and gotten into their garden. You know, sometimes we'll go spot spray some weeds in the middle of the afternoon thinking, oh, it's just two or three of them and I'm 30 or 40 feet away, but that can volatilize and just move. And so it just sounds like 2,4-D.
That's why you say don't
damage.
Do it in those hot temperatures.
Yes. It just sounds like classic 2,4-D to me.
So to me, this is really scary because we're planting things to eat because we want to eat healthier. And then somebody who sprays just not too far away can really impact our food.
It really can, especially if these lawn weed killers that have dicamba and 2,4-D in them, you can do a lot of damage if you don't follow the label. And those labels explicitly say, do not spray at temperatures above 85 degrees. Even then, I do not like using them in the summer because if you spray in the morning when it's below 85 and those plants are still wet, if the temperature rises, it can still drift. And there's just been too many times that people said I was super careful and I'm still getting some damage in my tomatoes and grapes. And, you know, when tomatoes and grapes hear 2,4-D, it's almost like they start to wilt even if you didn't expose them. So you've got to be super careful. And I try to avoid any lawn weed killers that have those ingredients in them through the summer.
Our next listener would like to know, when is the best time to plant Rose of Sharon?
Anytime you can find it. Get it in now and it'll have a couple of months to root, even if the leaves drop in cooler temperatures. or in, you know, whenever you can purchase it, go ahead and plant it. Trees and shrubs can go in as long as the ground is not frozen.
Our next caller is Susan in Ogden. Good morning, Susan. What is your question?
Hi, I have a beautiful Brandywine tomato that's in a pot, and it's loaded with little tiny tomatoes, and I'm worried I'm running out of time. Is there any advantage to bringing it indoors at night when it gets cold and then putting it back out in the morning?
Can you somehow move it without damaging it?
I think so. It's a relatively compact potted plant. I only have to move it about 5 feet to get it inside.
Okay, because the Brandywine I'm familiar with is a monster plant with monster tomatoes. Mm. And so if you wanted to move that in, if it was going to be below the 50 degree mark, you could bring it in at night and move it out during the day. But any temperature above 70 and above 50, 70 during the day and above 50 at night, you can just leave it out.
Okay. Do you think I have a chance? Because these things, it is loaded with, it's in a pot, so I think that's kept it smaller. And it's loaded, but they're like, you know, marble size.
I'm really wondering if you've got a different variety than Brandywine and it was mistagged. Because even in a pot, those Brandywines get 6 or 8 feet, and the tomatoes are the size of like pound and a half tomatoes. And so it could be sometimes you'll get duplication in names, but I wonder if what you have is not Brandywine. It was just somehow mislabeled or something. But I would try it, because if it is Brandywine tomato, those fruit probably wouldn't mature until late November, early December.
Oh.
If it is true Brandywine, because they get so big. But if it's a cherry or a grape tomato, I'd say absolutely.
Okay. All right. It's worth a try. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Our next listener wants to know, they planted their tomatoes in large pots and they used potting soil. Can they use that soil again next year for tomatoes?
I wouldn't, if you're growing tomatoes in them again. You get a buildup of diseases and things. And so I get that it's expensive. And if you need to, go ahead. But if you can afford it, swap it out. But don't use it more than 2 years in a row.
Or how about if you took it, half of it, and just put fresh on the top? No, don't do that.
Yeah, it's just, it's almost like you're contaminating new soil.
Okay.
Potentially. I'm not saying you are, and I know that we're going to get people.
I was trying to be frugal.
Yeah, and saying, oh, I've done this for years and I've never had a problem. And, you know, there's those situations out there, but it's just one of those things that potting soil, if you were to even plant something different like cucumbers or something in them, I would say go ahead. But doing tomatoes 2 years in a row in the same soil is just a gamble I don't want to take.
All right. Next caller is Paul in Kearns. Good morning, Paul. How can we help you this morning?
Okay. Question. What's the best tomato to buy? The great big ones. This year I bought some of these, some of them, and they're like really small. Some of them are big. Which ones do you recommend?
The easiest big tomato to grow is probably Celebrity. They're going to be 12 to 16 ounce fruit. Do you seed your own tomatoes or just purchase them from the garden center?
Now we go to J&J Gardens.
Okay. If you were to do your own, Johnny's has a variety called BHN 1021 that ripens about the same time, but they don't crack nearly as much and are very similarly flavored, but you would probably have to start them on your own.
Okay. If I was going to do, like, plant tomatoes myself, you know, not to start from, like, the seed, how would I do that?
Well, you'd need some fluorescent lights and keep them 6 inches above the plants and some trays. You can get kits from, like, Walmart or local garden centers and farm stores in February and March to do this. And, you know, if you just get a shop light from a hardware store with fluorescent bulbs and put them over the top of your tray so that they're never more than 6 inches away from the plants, you can start your own that way. If you want to do that. I mean, I remember my dad did this 1 year, and we had shelves full of tomatoes, you know, several hundred plants. And, you know, probably, you know, depending on what you're using, 6 to 10 of each variety is fine, maybe 20 if you're just getting started. But one of the tendencies people have to do is overplant, and then they're ending up trying to give away their extra starts.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your time.
All right, Paul. Good luck to you. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions this morning. 801-575-8255 is the number to call. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Let's take a call from Jay in Murray. Good morning, Jay. What is your question?
Yeah, I bought a peach tree this spring. We planted it, and all throughout the year, we've put about a 5-gallon bucket of water on it every week. And it's about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, it started turning yellow. Now it's a nice golden yellow. Is there something that I'm not doing right?
You could be doing everything right, and just with the heat and lack of roots, it could be going dormant a little early. Now, when you were watering it, did you check in between that once a week to see how wet the soil was?
You know, I didn't because it was so hot. I just poured it on and I let it sit because I put the bowl around it. So there's an edge of dirt there. And I just filled it up and it took about a minute or two for all that water to sink down in.
Because if it's yellowing out early, it could be too much or too little water. Just not so much it would kill the tree, but if it's slightly drought stressed continuously, they have a tendency to shut down early. But a little too much water can also cause that. And so I put two apple trees in last fall, or crab apple trees, and I would water them deeply, but I found when we hit 90 degrees and above, I would have to water twice a week, even in my clay soil, to keep them going. And so there could be some indications that they were just a little bit drought stressed. So don't bump your water up now that we're cooling down. But what I would recommend doing is, you know, water them deeply like you've been doing. But 3 or 4 days later, just go out and check the soil, dig down 6 or 8 inches. And if it's moist, wait. And if it seems to be on the drier side, go ahead and hit them.
Okay, so I don't need to go add like iron or anything to it.
No, it sounds like water issues to me. A lot of times you don't see iron chlorosis issues and other micronutrient issues for 2 or 3 years because there's enough of that available in the initial potting soil being rich in organic matter. And it's really when those trees start to sink their roots into the soil and get away from that potting soil that the chlorosis issues show up.
So it's probably too much or not enough water in the real heat, and now it's just shutting down early.
I think so. Yeah, but it could have been slightly too much. It's the visual symptoms are so similar that it's hard to say, but I would say maybe just a bit of drought stress.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm sitting there looking at it, worrying that it's dying on me, but it's probably just going into winter. It's just wintering early then.
I think so. If you purchased it from a garden center, an independent, you could take your reseed in and just say, hey, the tree's struggling. Especially if your warranty ends this fall, you can go in and say, instead of returning this, would you note on my receipt that I talked to you and I would rather wait and see how the tree looks in the spring before I return it? And a lot of garden centers are happy to do that because many times, you know, they shut down a little early in the fall and leaf out in the spring just fine.
Okay. Yeah, matter of fact, we got it from the greenhouse, 33rd South, 9th East, Mill Creek Gardens.
Yeah, talk to Mill Creek, and they may, I can't guarantee anything, but if you're willing to work with them, especially if you're teetering on returning it, take the receipt in and just talk to them and say it's struggling a bit, take some pictures, and just tell them, I'd rather leave it in the ground, though. Is there any way I could get whatever warranties on it extended to, like, June 1st of next year?
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, and then we'll go from there. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Jay, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener is Alex. He wants to know, does redbud tree grow well in Salt Lake?
It does, especially just the traditional redbud. If you're not doing any of the cultivars, like the red or yellow leaf cultivars, they are a little bit sensitive the first couple of years they're in the ground, and you have a higher chance of them not making it those first 2 years. But once those roots get reestablished, they do well. They are brittle wooded, and so you don't usually see redbud around that are over 20 or 25 years old because they have a tendency to kind of crack and break. But overall, for how pretty the trees are, they do quite well considering.
All right. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. The plant of the week this week was chrysanthemums. If you'd like to learn more about chrysanthemums, you can find an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You can also find a little video that I posted, Ton, of my trip to Ireland, a little fairy garden that I went through. Kind of fun if you want to walk through the fairy garden with me. You can check that out. Again, that's on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And it's 9 o'clock. Let's check in with the news. We'll be back with more of the Greenhouse following the news.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready, because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.